Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Shriram Properties Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali, Chairman and Managing Director from Shriram Properties. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are pleased to share that Q2 has been yet another encouraging quarter for Shriram Properties, with strong operational performance and sequential growth across key metrics. Despite temporary headwinds on the financial side due to regulatory transitions in Bangalore, our fundamentals remain robust, and we are confident of delivering a strong second half and achieving our full-year goals. During the quarter, we achieved sales volumes of about 1.1 million sq ft, up 39% quarter-on-quarter, valued at 685 crores, a growth of 58% sequentially. Cumulatively, for the first half, sales stood at about 2 million sq ft, worth 1,126 crores, reflecting a 19% year-on-year increase. In terms of business development, FY 26 has been a productive year so far. We added five new projects with an aggregate development potential of 2.3 million sq ft and a GDV of 2,350 crores. We are also at advanced stages of finalizing additional projects with over 6 million sq ft of potential in the second half, providing healthy visibility for growth ahead. Looking forward, with multiple launches lined up and regulatory issue behind us, we expect a strong rebound in H2, driven by project completions and revenue recognition. Our priorities remain on accelerating execution, driving cash flow generation, and unlocking value from our growth portfolio. With that, let me now hand it over to Mr. Ravindra Kumar Pandey, CFO, to take you through the financial details.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone. My name is Ravindra Pandey. I am the CFO of the Shriram Properties. Thank you for taking time to join us today as we present the performance highlights for Q3 FY 26. We have uploaded the presentation on the website of the company and the stock exchanges, and I hope you all have access to it. Over the next 2 minutes, I will walk you through the operational and financial performance of the company for the quarter gone by and on the strategic priorities and growth roadmap for S2 FY26. I'll be referring to the slides of the presentation what we have uploaded. I'm referring to the slide number 2. So before we move to the performance section, a quick overview of Shriram Properties, especially for those who have joined the call for the first time. We have a sense of leadership and trust, with a strong presence across Bangalore, Chennai, Kolkata, and Pune. Our delivery record stands at 48 completed projects and over 29 million sq ft delivered, backed by consistent execution standards. Customer trust continues to be our core strength. Over 31,000 happy customers, with nearly one-fourth of our sales driven by reference. Financially, we remain a disciplined developer in the sector, with a debt equity of 0.3x, and a CRISIL A- positive rating, reaffirming our governance and financial prudence. In essence, Shriram Properties is a credible mid-market and mid-premium residential brand built on legacy, driven by performance, and trusted by thousands. Referring to the slide number 4 of the presentation, Q2 FY26 was one of the challenging quarters as the regional industry witnessed once-in-a-lifetime event involving division of BBMP, the old municipal corporation, into 5 months, effective 2nd of September 2025. This transition nearly paralyzed the real estate sector in approvals, completion certificates, and issue of e-khatas that are mandatory for unit registration ahead of handover and income recognition. The single biggest factor shaped the performance of regional players, making the quarter as one of the most difficult quarters in recent times. Viewed in this context, SPS performance is satisfactory. We delivered strong operational KPIs, robust YOY growth in financial performance, but our absolute numbers were muted, thus stressing margins and profitability for the quarter. With governance stabilizing, the normalcy returning from end of October, outlook for S2 looks robust. New corporations have started functioning. Approvals started moving. OCCC files started getting cleared. E-Khata issuance resumed. Many of our pending OCs have also started flowing now. In view of the above, we expect stronger handovers, higher revenue recognition, stronger pipeline of launches, better operating leverage, and we remain confident of recouping lost ground in SP FY26. Slide number 5. This slide highlights the extent deferred by us in Q2. Over 650 units across 5 projects with aggregating revenue recognition potential of ₹420 crore got deferred. We expect these units to be handed over to the customers over time during the second half as the OC ECHATA processes progresses from here on. Slide number 7, which is our KPI snapshot. Let me now attempt to highlight our operational and financial performance in detail. Q2 was a very strong quarter operationally. We achieved 1.14 million square feet of sales volume, which is 39% higher on QOQ basis and 10% higher on YOY basis. This reflects the excellent response to our recent launches. Sales value stood at 685 crores, registering a 55% QOQ increase and 21% year-on-year growth. This demonstrates both healthy absorption and firm pricing in our micro markets. Collections improved to 388 crores, growing 15% QOQ and 7% YOY. This is satisfactory considering delays in OCCC and registrations. We handed over 764 units in Q2, up 3% QOQ and up 30% YOY. Nearly 56% of these handovers were in JV projects, which strengthened execution momentum, although had limited impact on the top line. Overall, Q2 reflects strong operational resilience and customer confidence, even in a disrupted regulatory environment. Looking at the first half of the year, H1 sales volume was 1.96 million square feet, up 13% year-on-year, showing sustained market traction. Also, it reflects 40% of our annual sales target. H1 sales value reached 1,126 crores, which is a solid 19% YOY growth, driven by strong launch performance and consistent adoption. H1 collections were 725 crores, growing 6% YOY. H1 handovers stood at 1,504 units, representing 34% YOY increase. With OCs flowing now and E-Khata issuance resuming post-October, we expect significantly higher handovers and robust revenue recognition in this team. Slide number 8. Despite regulatory disruptions, we delivered a satisfactory financial performance. Revenue stood at ₹229 crores, reflecting 48% YOY increase. Gross profit at ₹61 crores, growing 34% YOY, with gross margins remaining healthy and consistent at over 30%. EBITDA for the quarter was ₹23 crores, despite higher relative overhead absorption due to deferred revenue recognition. And finally, PAT for the quarter was ₹9 crores, a meaningful improvement over last year when we had reported a loss. I want to highlight that these YOY growth numbers reflect the lower base of the previous year. Our absolute revenues and absolute earnings for the quarter remain modest, solely because of deferred handovers. Had these OCs and KATAs been processed on time, our Q2 top line and profitability would have been significantly higher. But since these are only deferment of revenue, we remain confident of delivering target earnings on a full year basis. Overall, the operational engine has remained strong, margins are stable, and the financial performance reflects resilience in a disrupted quarter. Slide number 9. This slide contains a summary of our discussion in the earlier slide. Slide number 10, business development highlights. On the BD side, we have added five high-quality projects in our pipeline during H1 FY26, having potential to develop 2.3 million sq ft with a GDV of 2,350 crores. Of this, three projects have been concluded during October 25 alone and highlight the momentum build-up and the backup aggressive efforts taken during this year. Across all five additions, the common thread is clear: strategic location, capital-efficient structures, high-velocity micro-markets, and strong margin potential. But what is even more potential is what lies ahead. We are on track to add another five, six new projects with over 6 million sq ft of development potential over the next few months. We have visibility on these new additions as these projects are already in advanced stage of diligence closure and documentation. Apart from this, our BD funnel is strong with 20+ million sq ft under active evaluation across Bangalore, Chennai, and Pune. We are therefore confident of moving ahead with our targeted pipeline addition over the next 12 to 18 months. Slide number 11, project pipeline and business development overview. This slide highlights the status of our current project pipeline, both ongoing and upcoming projects. The upcoming projects alone represent a GDV of over 11,400 crores, with ownership well diversified between owned, JDA, JVs, and DMs. We are clearly on track to nearly doubling our upcoming pipeline within the next 18 to 24 months, maintaining capital discipline while deepening our presence in high-velocity micro-markets. Slide number 12, project launch highlights. We launched three projects during the first half, and all have delivered solid traction. Codename Superstar in Pune launched in May, with a projected area of 0.89 million sq ft and 0.44 million sq ft opened in phase one. We have already sold 48%. Codename The One at Electronic City in Bangalore launched in July, 0.5 million sq ft launched, and we have achieved an impressive 80% sell-through, reflecting a strong demand in this corridor. Springfield phase two in Kolkata launched in September. Out of 0.28 million sq ft released, we have already sold 43%, showing healthy momentum in the Kolkata region as well. Across markets, the response has been robust, reaffirming that launch sentiment and end-user demand remain very strong. Slide number 13, project launch outlook. Looking ahead, we have a high-confidence launch lineup of 2.7 million sq ft with GDV of nearly 2,200 crores across Bangalore, Chennai, and Kolkata. All these launches are well-prepared, micro-market validated, and backed by strong pre-launch momentum. This positions us a very strong H2 in terms of sales and collection. Slide number 14. This slide highlights our handover and income recognition outlook. We have a very strong and highly visible set of projects ready for handover during H2. With OCs and e-Khata starting flow, we will be handling over nearly 2,800 units during H2, involving 2.5+ million sq ft with over 1,000 crores of revenue recognition potential. We remain confident of reaching our handover targets of 3,000-3,500 units for the full year. This is one of the most robust recognition pipelines we have had in the recent years. In summary, the pipeline is ready, the execution engine is aligned, and H2 is positioned for a robust growth. Slide number 15, project completion outlook. This slide shows the status of projects which are ready or getting ready for the delivery during this year. Slide number 16, this is a glimpse of some awards we received during the year. Slide number 18, financial highlights. Let me now shift gears to highlight our financial performance and outlook. We already discussed these points in our earlier slides. To recap, Q2 was impacted by the GDA transition and resultant deferred handover and deferred revenue recognition across multiple completed projects. Our YOY growth trend has been strong due to lower base of last year. but absolute revenues and earnings were muted, reflecting deferred revenue recognition. This is purely temporary, and we are confident of recouping last down during S2 FY26. The good news is that the situation is already normalizing. OCs have now been received in all but one project, and e-khata issuance process has begun. With project completion contracts and the regulatory environment stabilizing, we have a strong revenue recognition outlook for S2, and deferred income from H1 will flow through. Slide number 19, financial highlights. Let me summarize the financials. Q2 operating revenues have grown 49% YOY to rupees 220.5 crores, while total revenues has grown 48% YOY to rupees 229 crores. Strong growth trends reflect lower base of last year, when we suffered on initial teething issues with introduction of e-khata in Bangalore last year. Q2 EBITDA remained healthy at 23.3 crores, up 73%, and our interest charges have dropped by 19% YOY to rupees 22 crores. Consequently, we recorded net profit of rupees 8.6 crores against negative net profit last year. The muted quarterly earnings is solely on account of reduced revenue base, as our gross margins have remained stable. However, on a half-year basis, our performance is satisfactory. H1 operating revenue grew 33% YOY to 475 crores, and total revenues grew 34%. H1 gross profit is rupees 143 crores, up 53% YOY. Gross margins is stable at 32%, reflecting a strong underlying project profitability. Other expenses were slightly higher because of Pune brand building efforts and non-recurring one-time settlement costs associated with Ashiana land parcel in Calcutta, as well as new launches spent during the first half. H1 EBITDA is around 70 crores, broadly in line with last year. The temporary softness in absolute profits is entirely due to deferred revenue recognition from completed projects. Finance costs are lower by 18% YOY. H1 PAT stood at rupees 29 crores compared to rupees 17 crores in last year H1. With key projects now reaching OC stage and e-khata progressing, we expect significantly stronger revenue and profit momentum in S2, as the deferred income will start flowing through. Slide number 20. This slide summarizes our discussion in the earlier slide. Slide number 21, consolidated cash flows. On cash flows, we have maintained strong discipline through a disruptive quarter. Operating inflows improved year on year with rupees 264 crores collected in Q2 and rupees 485 crores in H1, despite the delays in registration. As handover picks up in S2, this number will strengthen further. Construction and launch spending continued as planned, and we still delivered a positive operating cash flow of rupees 52 crores in Q2. We also generated 99 crores of net free cash flows in Q2, even after investing rupees 68 crores into new BD projects. For H1, we have invested rupees 143 crores into new acquisitions, fully aligned with our pipeline expansion strategy. Our closing cash balances stand at rupees 286 crores. Giving us ample liquidity to support ongoing construction and capture BD opportunities as the market stabilizes. Overall, cash flow remains healthy, well managed, and positioned to accelerate as milestone collections strengthen in this pool. Slide number 22, debt profile. Our balance sheet continues to remain very strong. Net debt stands at rupees 407 crores, and our net debt to equity is only 0.29x. Well within our comfort range and healthier than last year. Our cost of debt has steadily reduced to 11.1%. We continue to enjoy A- positive outlook rating from CRISIL, reaffirming our credit strength. Overall, we have a robust balance sheet, ample funding capacity, and the strength to support our growth pipeline confidently. Slide number 24, business outlook. With the new GBA organization stabilizing and approvals flowing, we see a robust outlook for H2. A strong launch pipeline lined up already and on track for execution, as well as likely robust handover momentum with OCs in hand, and Ithaca processes progressing already, we see significant revenue recognition lineup during this year. At 2,500 plus units are getting ready for handover with revenue recognition potential of over rupees 1,000 crores. A significant part of this will materialize in S2, thus improving our outlook for the full year. Overall, we thus remain confident of delivery on our FY26 targets. Also, as emphasized, development efforts on our full swing and growing momentum gives us confidence on targeted pipeline addition. This, in turn, should enable us to sustain growth momentum in the coming years. Slide number 25. This is the guidance given for FY26 and we remain confident of achieving the same. Slide number 26, Mission 1234. Our mission for delivering significant value for our shareholders by FY28 remains fully intact. As of September 25, we have 9.8 million square feet of area pending revenue recognition, and it represents a potential revenue of over 5,000 plus crores over the next 3 years. This should provide significant boost to earnings and move us towards the mission target comfortably. Meanwhile, on the supply side, to deliver the mission, we need about 30-35 million square feet over the next 3 years. We already have 22.4 million square feet visible today, and we are adding another 15 to 20 million square feet over the next 12 to 18 months. So our growth engine is fully aligned, our supply is secured, and we are firmly on track to deliver mission 1234. To summarize, before I end the presentation, despite the temporary regulatory disruptions in Bangalore, we have maintained strong momentum in sales, collection, and project execution. With the GBA transition stabilizing and Ithaca issues largely behind us, we are entering S2 on a very solid footing. Our launch pipeline is strong, our balance sheet is healthy, and demand across key market remains robust. We are confident of delivering a strong rebound in S2 and staying firmly on course towards our FY28 growth mission. Thank you all for your continued trust and support. I now hand over call back to the operator. Myself, along with CEO and CMD, will be glad to answer all your queries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Divakar from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, sir. Good evening. So my first question on the contingent liability pertaining to the Calcutta projects. So what is the total amount? Hello?
259 crores. This is Gopal. Gopal, yes, property. So the contingent liability on the books is 259 crores, substantial part of which is already provided for.
Okay. And sir, what is the what are the provision we are making per quarter basis on this WP project?
Currently, historically, it used to be around 5 crore per quarter. Since we are almost at the far end of the provision, we are just during this quarter, Q2 FY26. We have provided 1.7 crores on a half yearly basis. We have provided 3.2 crores as compared to 16 crores for the previous year.
16 crores.
We are at the fag end of the process, and we also believe we should have a resolution on the ongoing discussions fairly soon, and therefore we see this whole provision disappearing in the coming quarters, hopefully during this year itself.
Yes, so sir, this is this case is pending in High Court, right? High Court of West Bengal.
Yes,
right. So when yes. When will be the next hearing of the same?
You will hear from us very soon on this.
Okay. And sir, one more question. Basically, we are tracking your company from last 3-4 years. So I remember, you know, in I think 23-24, we used to give guidance of 10% PAT margin around. That would be around 100 crore PAT. But, you know, it's been a 3-4 years and we have not touched even 80-85 CR. So how do you plan to reach 100 crore PAT or 1,000 crore revenue and 100 crore 10% PAT margin company?
So as you are aware, we are working towards similar margins, and don't know how you reach 100 crore on the past turnover, but I'm happy to take the question separately. But on an overall basis, over the last few years, we have been in the mid-20s EBITDA margin, which is what we have consistently guided the market. And we've always said that we'll be in the 9-11% at the PBT level. And FY25, our PAT margin was about 8%, 77 crore on overall revenue recognition of about 816 crores. So we are on the path. In this year, hopefully we will reach the 1,000 odd crore, that revenue that you talked about. We should hopefully exceed that number this year as we guided at the beginning of the year. And that should actually translate into the margin profitability level that you envisaged or you alluded to in the call just now.
Yes, sir. You know, sir, but revenue delay is kind of a normal. Q4 it happened also that we were not able to book some revenue, and same thing happened this quarter. So why, for real estate company, this is quite normal, the delay in OC. But for us, you know, it happens in very continuous fashion. I mean,
facts are incorrect. No, let me stop. Let me correct you. The facts are incorrect. Last year, Q1, we had this. Q4 was our bumper quarter, as you may have. If you are tracking it for 3-4 years, you would be knowing that. Q2 last year was the introduction of e-Khata, and entire real estate sector in Bengaluru, Karnataka suffered. We did as well. That's what Mr. Pandey alluded to when we talked about a lower base of last year. And as you are perhaps aware, the BBMP, which is a regulatory municipal corporation in Bengaluru, like in Mumbai, has got divided into 5 pieces from effective 3rd of September. And there has been a complete stoppage or lack of progress in any front. And if you are tracking the real estate sector and you would track the real estate players in Bangalore, you would see that be it Brigade, everybody's revenue recognition, earnings and margins, if you see, all of them would have gone through the difficulty during Q2 because the macro environment. Like in any other sector, the sector also goes through quarter-to-quarter volatility. At the end of the year, at the end, what matters is, are we delivering consistently and are we progressing? If you look at over the last 3 to 4 years, our earnings have moved. As you would probably remember, when we, since you are saying you are tracking from 22, we were about 18-19 crores of PAT. We have moved up all the way to 77-78 crores of profit and a margin of about 7-8% now. And we are working towards stabilizing the margin at around 10% at the PAT level.
Yes. Okay, sir. Sir, I just would like to know, in our inventory, there is around 2600 crores. So, can you just give me a split of finished, what is the finished good and the work in progress in this?
Sir, you can repeat the question.
Sir, in inventory, we have around 2600 crore. So, what will be the finished inventory on and what will be the work in progress in this?
So, just to clarify, we have a very insignificant part of finished goods inventory in our books. All the inventory in the balance sheet, what you see, is all work in progress projects. Completed projects receiving OC, maybe the transient part would be there. As you can see, from the slide here, the value of projects that have received or pending OC as of 30th September and those have come through is about 300 crores, as you can see in slide number 15, first 4 rows. And those are the inventories that you can say it is a value of inventory of finished goods. But these are all sold as well. Let me put this number in a different way. We have about 3 out of 19, 20 million square feet ongoing. We have an unsold inventory of about 3 million square feet, 3 plus million square feet. And therefore, 85% of the inventory is sold. Therefore, all the work in progress you see in the balance sheet is all project progress against which you have customer advances in the left-hand side of the balance sheet. So, practically speaking, completed project inventories are insignificant in Shriram's portfolio.
Okay, sir. Okay, that is all from my side, sir, and wish you a very good luck for the future.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nitin Jain from Fair Value Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is regarding the BBMP restructuring that you mentioned. So what I wanted to know is that it must have been like the company must have known about it earlier, right? So I'm just surprised that there was no mention of it in the last call that this kind of restructuring is upcoming. So it's kind of a surprise now.
No, it is not. The restructuring was known. The act was passed somewhere in May, June last this year by the Karnataka Assembly. Implementation time was not known to anyone, and even if it was known, it would have been impossible. It's not a manufacturing firm that we can prepone the dispatches. Even if it was known, there is a timeline which is required for completing the project. What was not known, what was surprised to most players, was that when the 3rd of September or 2nd of September government decided that that will be the effective date and they just were kicked off the process, BBMP stopped taking decision, be it the plan approvals or be it the OCs and e-Khatas and Khatas. The new organization took some time to stabilize. Right? There was no officers not appointed, as Mr. Pandey alluded to in the speech. Officers are not appointed. Officers are appointed, but they don't know their roles and responsibilities. They have appointed. They are all senior bureaucrats, by the way. These are the senior most commissioners and officers have been appointed as the commissioner there. And across the entire chain, the organization gets divided. You just imagine like Mahanagar Palika of Bangalore. Government decides to implement a division into Mumbai, north, south, east, west, and all that. It takes time. This is a one-time transition which happens, like we went through in RERA. It took more than a year to stabilize. Fortunately, here, now from mid of October, we have seen officers taking charge and releasing papers. So this is an unexpected event. And looking back, one can say, yeah, we should have planned for it. I don't think it is possible to plan either an accelerated construction or accelerated paper exit or accelerated paperwork. Both would be difficult. And in such a large historical transition, from their perspective, a couple of months of delay is not something that they would be worried about. And from our perspective, as a listed company, quarter to quarter, it makes a difference. But if you look at it in a fiscal year as a whole, I don't think it will make any significant difference to us as well as any other player in southern regional sector.
So just a follow-up to that, it's just because we've been following the company for some time, it's happening that the company is repeatedly, finding itself in regulatory hurdles. Like last year it was in Maharashtra, now Karnataka. So is it maybe somewhere we are falling short of planning or what exactly? Can you provide some color?
No, I think it's an incorrect impression, just to be perfectly candid. And every company goes through, in a new market, we took almost 6 months of time to overcome the regulatory, whatever is the issues which we had or learnings we had. It is true for any new market. If a pharmaceutical company goes to the United States, they will take some time to learn. And that's the risk of entering into the new market, apart from customers accepting your brand. And in Bangalore, or any market for that matter, we've had, in the last 4 years, we've had e-Khata issues last year and BBMP transition into 5 different corporations this year. It happens. It happens in a business. We know how to run this business. And as long as we're able to mitigate and overcome these challenges, these are the industry challenges, right? Even a stabilized service sector like software companies will have a problem. Suddenly, US decides to introduce a new law. If you're outside the business, yes, it's very easy to say we should have predicted it. If you're inside the business, you need to be able to manage the challenges and overcome. And I'm sure we are all experienced enough in the business, in the sector, like we did in Pune, like we did in last year in Bangalore. I hope you appreciate that we did, with all the challenges we had in Kata, which was introduced as a new concept in Bangalore last year, e-Kata was made mandatory, we still delivered 3,300 homes. So I think it is doable. Yes, there will always be some quarter. It is not for FMCG business that every quarter will run exactly as smooth as the previous month and previous quarter. That's the nature of business. But I assume, like Sriram, all other players are seasoned enough to overcome these challenges. Be assured, these are temporary aberrations in volumes and they'll get caught up in subsequent quarters like we did last year.
That's very helpful, sir. Thank you. My next question is on the OCs. So you mentioned that the OCs were delayed and the collection growth was slow correspondingly. However, the handover growth was pretty good. So how do we reconcile the two, like collection growth being slow but handover was good?
No, handover growth is not that robust. It should have been much higher. These are the projects that we have got, OCs and the Tatas, they were all OCs were received, handovers were being given, therefore customer had to pay full money. Registration could not happen because of Tata or other issues which we faced last year. Like for example, Q4, 1,200 homes were handed over. At that time, we did say that we have some more units to catch up. That is what is going to feed us the handovers in Q1 and Q2 till the new projects get completed. That's exactly what is happening. Selection if you look at last year's projects, if you are handing over, the overall collection will be about 5% of the balance amount. When you launch new projects and when there, some of these handovers happen in large volume, that's when the collection growth can gain further momentum. If you look at the overall collections for the whole 6 months, and it is not a big drop, I'm looking at 725 crores of collection, a 6% growth as compared to your overall handovers is about 1,500 units, 34%. That's, I understand where you are coming from, and it's fundamentally it's a combination of three factors. One, the mix of units that you hand over, because Bangalore suffered, majority of the handovers would have been in Calcutta. I can give you the breakup offline, or maybe my colleagues can pull out the number. Calcutta unit volume, each unit will have a balance value of about 4-5 lakh rupees to be received because the ticket size is about 45 lakh. So the number of units and the collections might not necessarily matter. It's a basket of three markets and three different ticket sizes. But we remain confident that we will reach this number of whatever the collection number that we set out for ourselves, about 1,800 crores. I think we are on track. Two things will help us. One, the new launches that we are doing, second half is more robust as always in southern regional sector. Those new sales will bring new collections and therefore that will improve. Second is the pending pent-up handovers that we have, about 460 crore worth of stocks to be handed over to customers. Those will have anywhere between 5 to 10% depending on the legacy. In the past, we used to leave almost 10% for the handover momentum, handover stage. Off late, in the last 2-3 years, we have tightened it to say only last 4-5% will be pending for handover. The combination of all these will deliver the cash flow for us.
Sure. And my last question, sir, is on the borrowings increase in this quarter. So I think it would be right to assume that we were lined up to make sure the launches happen on time.
No, these are nothing to do with launches. Launches, working capital launches. When we start constructing the new project, that's when we start borrowing for construction finance. A couple of construction finance would have happened, but they would have drawn much smaller. These were primarily growth capital raised towards the locking in new projects. As you know, we have locked 5 projects during the year so far, of which 3 were done in October. So we would have, as part of those kind of acquisitions, we have to raise capital. And as we have said, consistently maintained, we will keep an eye on the debt equity and these capital that is being raised will be more a short-term fuel for accelerated growth. As and when the new projects get completed and the capital, our share of profit gets unblocked as the cash flow from operation, these debt will be repaid. So on a net basis, will remain under control. And these were therefore raised for growth funding.
Thank you, sir, for the elaborate answer and all the best.
Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vidisha from CRK. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you please explain it to me? So you said 450 is the deferred revenue, and out of the sold part, 6.2 MSF is pending revenue recognition. Is this 450 a part of this pending revenue recognition?
Yeah. This 460 crore, I'll take you to two slides as a reference point. Slide number six talks about the projects that got that did not get OC during Q2 and but has got the OC now. So those are 420 crores of worth of stocks which have to be handed over to customers. If you look at the another slide which is there, which talks about the full year, what are the projects that are scheduled for completion and handover, which is slide 15. That tells you about 1128 crore worth of stock which has to be handed over to customer. Substantial part of that is sold, and therefore that could be the potential revenue recognition during the second half on top of what we have done already. So therefore we believe the second half will bring in a large part of capital required revenue recognition contribution, and therefore we should be able to cross that 1100-1200 crores of revenue that we have always talked about. So we are on track because we already clocked nearly 40% of our annual number, and the balance will come from these 1128 crore, which includes whatever you have seen the earlier 420 number, 460 number. So slide 15 gives you the complete picture of OC received as we speak now, as well as some of them are pending in Q3 and Q4. All put together, for remainder of the year, that is the maximum revenue recognition that we should be able to do. And that will add up to whatever we have done up to Q2.
Okay. Yes, so slide number 26, that is 5,000 CR by FY28. So out of this revenue recognition that is pending, that is 1,100 CR, which will be recognized in H2, right?
No, might not be possible because if you get the OC and in during Q4, all of them may not be possible. A substantial part would be recognized.
Okay, so can you give me
balance will spill over to Q1 and Q2 next year.
Okay, so can you give me a rough estimate in by year wise, FY26, 27, 28, how this 5,000 CR will flow in as part of your sales?
That will be very difficult for me to explain on such a large audience group. Maybe you can get in touch with one of us offline. We'll probably walk you through. But obviously that modeling has to be done by you. We can only broadly guide you. And my team members will, either Mr. Pandey or Mr. Shrikant will be able to help. You can come through SGA. They'll organize a conversation between us and you. Based on what inputs we can give, you should be able to appreciate how this 5,000 crore will flow back into the company.
Alright, sure. So just one last question. So this 1100 CR, you said 1100 CR will be spread in the next four quarters, right? H2 of 26 and then
1100 crore will get spread mostly in second half, which is Q2, Q3 and Q4. Some part will spill over to Q1 next year. Q2 next year will be a very small number. So substantial part of 1100 crores that you see in slide number 16 will be recognized in second half of this financial year alone. Some part will get spill over to Q1 of next year. That's all I meant.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. So my question is on this Hindustan Motor land which we own in Kolkata. So what is the size of that land and is it a freehold? I mean 100% belongs to us?
Yes, sir. It's over 310 acres of land thereabouts. And 313 acres.
Okay.
And this is a freehold. We have paid for it and purchased this land many years ago. So it is in our books for many years. It's a freehold completely purchased by, it was purchased originally by a private equity player called Walton Street, who was a partner with us at the SPV. Then we merged the SPV into parent company. Therefore, it is owned by Shriram Properties Limited as a listed company, owns this land. Out of it, some part we have developed already. We are going through some discussions with the government of West Bengal, which hopefully you will hear from us soon. And leftover, whatever is the land which is leftover, will be still be developed by us or monetized by us. We have always had this strategy that we want to develop about 10 million square feet by ourselves, rest all we want to monetize. The strategy remains. It got put on hold because of the ongoing challenges with litigation with the government, which we believe we are at the advanced stage. Give us some time. You would hear from us soon. I'm not equipped to have this details spilled out at this point of time.
Okay. And if I may know, what could be the price per acre of this land?
Very difficult to comment. You go through sub-registrar records, it is anywhere between 3.5-4 crores to all the way to 6 crores. That's the public record available.
3.5 to 6 crores. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So this 300 acres. Okay. So I think 1200 to 1500 crores for this land, approx.
May not attributable to Shriram because out of the 315 acres, we have utilized about 40 for development. It's a large parcel, so there are a lot of water bodies that has to be maintained. So the developable area can be about, apart from whatever we have used already for Shriram Grand One, Shriram Sunshine, all that, maybe we would have about 125 to 130 acres of developable area.
Okay.
And out of which we are doing some settlement and to overcome this litigation that we have been facing the litigation, which we took the government to the court for non-compete fee. We believe we are at the end of the process. Hopefully you'll hear from us soon. And at that point of time, you'll know the details of what is the leftover land for further development. But we believe a large value is residing there. As an simple acreage value, which market doesn't appreciate. So I'm glad that you've asked the question because the market doesn't appreciate as of now.
Yeah, correct. And do we have to pay any dues for this?
No. It's a fully paid freehold land.
Okay. So as of now, if we want to calculate, we have 125 to 130 acres to be developed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so my next question is, if I'm looking at our presentation, I think I'm a bit confused. So what could be our GDV for next 2.5-3 years for our projects? I mean, for our own projects and for other JV and JDA projects?
Just we are looking at my colleague to give me GDV of the entire pipeline. The ongoing we have, but he's looking, he'll give you.
Just I'm talking about till FY28. So what could be the total size?
Yeah, give me one second. So you can see slide number 11. The upcoming projects GDV is about 11,470 crores.
One second, sir.
Nearly half of it is owned. 5,000 crore is our own.
Okay.
Upcoming. This is different from another slide which talks about ongoing project value.
Mm-hmm.
This is GDV of upcoming projects, which is the 18.
This I understood. I am just talking about till FY28. So whatever is going to be developed,
so substantial part of this will be substantial part launched before 28. Because we don't have a land bank. We don't buy, other than Kolkata, we don't have any land bank in the balance sheet. It's all raw material that we acquire. We acquire the land, put through the approvals, and we launch it. So these lands that we have, a substantial part of it will get launched by FY28.
Okay. So if I were to summarize, if I wanted to calculate your profits for next 2-3 years, So, I mean, till FY28, so can it be 550 to 600 crores if I want to add for 3 years?
Cumulative for 3 years?
Yeah, cumulative 550 to 600 crores for next 2.5 years.
Cumulative would be possible, but not annual profit.
No, of course. Cumulative for next 2.5 years. So that's possible, right?
Yeah, cumulative is possible.
Okay, fine. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Sandeep.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Raj Mehta from Raj Mehta and Associates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, so I wanted to know few things related to how do you think the sector in Bangalore is performing, the regulatory hurdles which are all behind us, and since you told that from October onwards you are seeing a good progress in getting overseas and getting regulating things are going on. I wanted to know how is the sector as a whole in Bangalore specific is performing, and whether we are facing any challenges with respect to construction or with respect to any demand, and we are getting a good amount of response, and we are able to increase or maintain the margin which we supposed to have.
Yeah, it's a good question. As I alluded to earlier, some interruptions will keep happening. Nice levels will also be there from U.S. recession, what is happening on the impact on software sector and therefore demand, all that will be there. If I see the on-ground feel, right, there are certain things that are economic times view. Some ground, some feelings are. If I give you an on-ground reality check that we feel is going on in the market, market is doing very well. The demand situation is very strong. Customer decision-making is faster. I think there is enough purchasing power in the system. Some of the sectors may go through some uncertainty or surprises from time to time, but overall, there is enough consumer demand available on the ground. It's also evident from the fact that not just us, if you look at the press release, that I've been closely tracking all the regional player press releases. And if you have seen in our own slide number 12, we said D1, which we launched 500,000 sq ft, we almost 80% is sold in less than 3 months, right? July end we launched. By September, we are almost done with 80%. So that's the level of pull which is there in the market. Therefore, market undercurrent is very strong. That is point number one. You just need to be, and this is true for most players. If you look at the launch track record of several of our peer group, listed and unlisted, they all have been doing very well from a volume perspective. Number two, from a pricing perspective, I think they've gone are the days of 21% hike year-on-year, 16% growth in selling price. Those may not happen. Post-COVID, we saw some big spike in selling price, which may not happen. We are in a very steady state, mature pricing environment where you can very safely expect between 5%-7%, max 5%-8% price hike on an annual basis, which will more than compensate. As you know, construction cost is about half of the pricing most of the time. So the 5%-8% increase will cover more than the required inflationary pressure on the construction side. Therefore, we don't see a margin pressure. More importantly, margin will stabilize and may go up for some players like us as a consolidated company level margins has an upside because we are upgrading the portfolio. If you see, pre-COVID, we used to sell below 5,000, 5,500, less than 5,000 per square foot for mid-market product. Today, our average portfolio realization for mid-market is in around close to 7,000, 6,500, 7,000. So overall portfolio upgrade as well as scale improvement should help in margin enhancement in players like us. But as a market as a whole, I think prices will be rising in a moderated or a meaningful way, not a substantial big spike. That's on the price front. Supply front, Supply front will always, it is unlike a manufacturing or a service sector, supply side pressure will come and go from time to time. It could be depending on the election pressure, regulatory pressures, office bureaucracy issues. Those will keep happening, and that's the nature of business. And therefore, and I think all seasoned players, all the top 10 players are mature enough to manage the situation. So we therefore think supply side will not be an unusual stress at any point of time. But being a consolidated industry, industry consolidation is actually playing off. So there is no mindless supply here. So supply-driven price pressure is unlikely as we see it. But supplies will match what is going on in the market. And in certain pockets within some micro markets, supply alone can trigger new demand because there are emerging new micro markets. So overall, I think the demand supply side and the pricing side seems reasonably strong. Competitive pressures will always be there. But fortunately, it is a big part of the industry's consortium fighting among 200, 300 players and with different objectives. I think the top 10 players now account for more than 55-56% of the organized market, the organized residential sector. And within that, again, if you look at the top 3, top 4 players will dominate majority of the mid-market or of luxury. Each player have their own focus areas. The area that we have a clear dominance in mid-market and mid-premium segment. And we have about 4 or 5 brand names which keep competing with. So I think competitive pressures are more structured now, if I can very crudely say. So therefore, we don't think there's undercutting and margin pressure as a result of undercutting by each other. The industry is that way is more benefiting from the consolidation which has been going on for the last 3, 4, 5 years since the era came in. That's about market dynamics. Where do we see? I think the residential sector will continue its journey for another couple of years. Mid-market should see a much more longer runway because the desire for owning home, desire for owning larger homes is more prominent. Post-COVID, this theme came and the theme is still continuing. Therefore, I think mid-market perform reasonably well for next 3-4 years. Having said that, it's not a linear curve. It will go through its own volatility. But on a year-to-year basis or a medium-term basis, if you see, we would have seen a reasonable growth in demand situation in this city.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, okay. Bangalore, just to put this in context, why I say this reasonable growth over a long period, this Bangalore used to people used to say Bangalore, or any most of the publicly available research used to say Bangalore is about 45,000-55,000 homes market, new homes, between 45 and 55, depending on which year you take. Today, Bangalore is about Bangalore is in excess of 75,000-80,000 homes market. So it has grown and it is continuing to grow and it will continue to grow. And therefore, this will remain an interesting market for us.
Okay. And sir, secondly, I also wanted to check, there are smaller players or regional players in Pune also, which had tied up where they have the big PE funds have invested in them and now they are chasing aggressive growth. So similar way, since our portfolio is also tilted towards upper middle class and towards premiumization, aren't we seeing any possibility where we can chase growth and bring certain bigger players so that we don't have to leverage our balance sheet and side by side be aggressive and not being conservative, since the cycle will last for next two to three years, and when that cycle changes or the cycles get stagnant, at that moment we become aggressive, then it becomes a dent on our profitability too. So isn't it possible, or the management should think of bringing a better player in the company so that we can expand it aggressively, or we are just thinking growing consistently and focusing more on conservative basis?
I would approach this differently. I think the market at least views a bigger player We are not looking for a bigger player to come and drive what we need to do. In Pune, if you look at, several local players called us to figure out what we are trying to do, because we have kind of painted the city in blue, as they called it. We entered the market. Southern Pune is one of the difficult market to enter, because the micro market that we went, NABM area, which is called Undri, the annual sales velocity for the last 4 years was only about 400 units a year. Annual velocity of the micro market. We have sold more than 250 units in the last 4 months. One player.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dominance that we bring in. So I'm not sure whether you call this as a muted play. We see it as an aggressive entry. And within 6 months of entry, we have already signed another project in Hinjewadi, which is an emerging new hub, one of these corridors that you all will envy. And we are also signing, we are in the process of signing up for another large project in the other side of the city, which is another happening area. So what we are trying to expand in right markets aggressively on our own, because we believe we have the track record, we have the capability. Yes, there will always be some growth capital requirement as long as this is manageable. We cannot say we will not leverage the balance sheet as well as we will not grow. Right? Or we are, if we have to grow, we have to have the capital, either bring the equity back from the investors, which we don't want to do at this point of time. Otherwise, the only other option is to lever the balance sheet to some extent, not mindlessly, and ensure that the leverage gets, it's a, more a bridge in terms of capital, and then the operating cash flow gets used to unwind this debt. So we believe, based on very prudent, we have never grown beyond 0.3-0.5 debt equity ever, and that will not be our comfort zone as well to cross that. And therefore, within the prudent norms of our debt equity, we should be able to raise growth capital and grow aggressively. We are not a passive player. So we believe we should be able to show the aggression and consolidate and take over, or not take over, consolidate a smaller player in us, either as a or as a DM partner whose project we can execute, instead of we giving ourselves a large player, which I think is may not be a right strategy for us.
Okay, great. And so the last question, the Bangalore has always been a tech hub, and if you see the industry, how it is growing, the Hyderabad is becoming a new tech hub, and people are shifting it from Bangalore to Hyderabad. So is it, as a company as a whole, are we looking, since we already have the dominance in Bangalore market, are we looking to go to Hyderabad or some other niche markets, just how you did it in Pune? Similarly, are we able to think internally that we should diversify from a few cities to a larger cities, and at least have a diversification, and those problems should not be faced when there is a specific problem in a specific state? What are your thoughts? How do you want to grow going forward, other than where we are already growing in Bangalore and Chennai?
So one step at a stage. Rome was not built in one day. So we will build this. We will build this over time. Today we have entered a new market called Pune. And it's a new market. When a year ago, a lot of apprehensions were there on whether Pune will treat us well, being a South Indian player, will we succeed? I think we have had a good entry. And a presence, strong presence will mean at least 4-5 projects to be running on the ground. So let's try to assemble that first. And then we'll look for the next growth market. At this point, if you spread it too wide and too thin, and that can become a new concern for external stakeholders like yourself. And therefore, we would like to focus on generic growth coming from our existing core markets like Bangalore, Chennai, and Kolkata. We have actually expanded because we have enough evidence for accelerating our growth process there. So we are actually launching one project today like we are accelerating our activity in Kolkata. Apart from these three, we will focus on Pune as our new growth engine. Once you stabilize Pune over the next year or so, Then we'll think about whether it is, should be Hyderabad or whether it should be Mumbai, Mumbai MMR, all that we can think about it. There are opportunity, enough opportunities for credible, large brand with a proven track record, irrespective of which market you want to go. This is our belief. And therefore, we will go one step at a stage and we'll try and penetrate newer markets as we gain strength in the recently entered market of Pune.
Okay, okay. Thank you. All the best. And so one last thing I recommended last con call also, whether we are taking any steps towards building investor confidence by doing any roadshows or we are attending any conferences so that people come to know about what we are able to do it on the...
We have accelerated the effort, helped by our IR teams as well as external IR consultants. We're meeting, we are now engaged with not only analysts but also several fund managers and family offices. Hopefully this will result in some traction. As some of the people on the call said, they've been tracking us for 3 years, 4 years. They have not written research on it as yet. So like that, we need to work with this team like yourself and other people to enhance coverage, to enhance confidence in them and in the fund managers to make an entry. We took your suggestion very seriously, and over the last 2 quarters, both our CFOs and the IR team have been on the road after every results, trying to go and meet the large investors consistently, along with the, apart from analysts. So I believe we should be able to break through in a reasonable time.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you, and all the best for the future.
I also request some of the analysts on this call to see they've been tracking. Some of them said they have been tracking for many years. Hopefully, they are now able to understand the company, and hopefully they'll start coverage, which will also go a long way in this institutionalization process.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict yourself to 2 questions only. The next question comes from the line of Nitin Jain from Fair Value Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up opportunity. So my question is regarding slide number 15, if you can revisit that. Are we trying to say here that our H2 revenue potential could be approximately 1100 crores? And I'm just trying to put it in context, given that in H1 we have done 450 crores.
Substantial part of 1100 crores is the potential. It may not be all, for example, if you look at like substantial part of 1100 crore is the potential that we have. Okay. If you look at the previous slide, it gives same data is given in project by project. There are some projects which are due for completion certificate, the OC in Kolkata as well as in Bangalore in Q4 and some in Q3. It may not be possible, depending on the timing of receipt, it may not be possible to consummate the entire revenue recognition in Q3 or Q4 alone. And therefore, the entire revenue potential of 1128 that you see on the column there is the potential that we would have. A substantial part will come through in the second half. The rest will come through in Q1. As somebody else asked me the same question, I clarified the same way. Substantial part of this will be in second half, and then leftover or spillover will come in Q1 next year.
Great, sir. Great. This looks good if it materializes, sir. Thank you so much.
We're working towards it. We are very confident it will happen. And as
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vidisha from CRK. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one last question. In the last quarter video that you uploaded, you had said 250 to 280 CR of PAT and 3500 to 3000 CR of revenue. But I just wanted to confirm, is this for FY28 alone or cumulative for 26, 27, and 28?
The numbers are for FY28. Annual.
2500 to 3000 for FY28 alone.
Yeah, the number, Vidisha?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the numbers that you have pointed out is our target number, our aspirational or mission numbers for FY28, not a cumulative number.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the line of participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking your time off and joining us to hear about our performance and our outlook. We look forward to your continued support, and as I said during the call, we look forward to receiving research support, research coverage support from some of the analysts. And we will also take our efforts towards reaching out institutional investors through the roadshows as suggested by some of you. Thank you for your inputs and suggestions and queries. We hope we answered all your queries. If there are anything pending, please connect with us directly or through SGA at any point of time. We are happy to clarify and provide additional inputs, whatever we can, to an external stakeholder. Thank you so much. Have a good, great evening.
On behalf of Shriram Properties Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.